Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once more, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open up our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word, so that we can have more knowledge, more wisdom, and to build our faith stronger, Father, so that we can do the work that you would call upon us to do, Father. Now be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in the last chapter now of 1 Corinthians. And we'll be going from here into 2 Corinthians. This chapter 16 is not too awful long, because it's only actually 24 verses, but a lot of these verses are very, very short. Now, beginning here with verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now, Paul here is warning them again and letting them know about this fundraiser that he is having so that he can get help to take back to the church at Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us why the church is needing it. We just know that it needs it. And Paul is concerned now about getting this help. And the Corinthian church had wrote to him about this matter and wanted to know how they could help. And so you see, the believers there at Corinth were aware that the apostles were gathering funds for the Jerusalem church, and apparently they had written to inquire how they could participate in this collection. Well, Paul is letting them know, as we go forward here now in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. In other words, he's wanting them to have everything ready when he gets there. 3. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. 4. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. You see, there in verse 5, he's telling them that he's going to pass through Macedonia. But yet Paul here changes his original itinerary, and subsequently he came under the charge of being fickle. They're calling him fickle now because he has changed his itinerary and where he's aiming to be, aiming to go. Now, 6, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. See, he's still not giving them a real positive word here. They're telling him what he'd like to do. 7. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Well, we know he's going to be somewhere when it gets to be time for Pentecost. Now, because that is a holiday that the Jewish people celebrate even to this day in time. There's 3 that they keep every year. And they have a feast with them and all. Now, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. These adversaries that Paul talks about, Paul seems to have in mind his pending trip to Macedonia and is accounting for why he is staying a little longer in Ephesus. Now, he doesn't tell them why, really, but he is letting them know. 10. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Now, this is his spiritual son. He calls him son most of the time, but he is not his blood son. He is a spiritual son. Timothy came to the Lord through the Apostle Paul. Now, but the reason for his warning for that, you see, is because at this time Timothy was traveling through Macedonia, and the apostle anticipated that he would be reaching Corinth eventually, and he wanted him to be able to do it without fear. And the apostles hoped that the Corinthians would not intimidate Timothy, since he was apparently a somewhat timid individual. He was kind of timid. And Paul didn't want them doing things that would cause him to fear. 11. Let no man, therefore, despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Now he's wanting him to come to him, wherever he is going to be. Because as yet, we're kind of like this Corinthian church. We're not sure where he's going to be. Because at this one time, he's not sure either. Whether he's going to be in Corinth, whether he's going to wind up in Macedonia or Ephesus. That's why they was calling him Pickle. Now 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, don't say why he hadn't got the time or anything, or even where he's at. 13. Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men. Be strong. Fourteen. Let all your things be done with charity. There's that word charity again. With the love. Let all your things be done with love. Now, you know, as we look at some of these things we came down through, we find there in 10, where he's talking to them about Timothy, that at this time Timothy was traveling through Macedonia, and the apostles anticipated that he would be reaching Corinth. And, you know, we know Timothy is there in Macedonia. We don't know where Apollos was. It don't tell us at all. Now, we come on down here. To 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and labor. 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. He's letting them know to what the Corinthians couldn't do or wouldn't do, whatever, they had taken care of. 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now here in 19, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. You see, back in the early days of the church, and as they were setting up churches and all, in different places, there was a lot of churches built in homes. They used a lot of their homes for churches. And Priscilla and Aquila, this couple was a couple that was doing that in 20. You see, Paul had first met Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth after they were exiled from Rome. And then they moved to Ephesus. They was kind of getting around themselves. But also now they have church in their house. 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Now, 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with thy own hand. 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at these two words, shall we? Anathema means devoted to destruction. This Maranatha, probably two words in the Aramaic, it expresses one of two possible ideas. But you know, the real meaning of it is our Lord coming, signifying the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have now come to the end of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go here now to 2 Corinthians. And the first chapter is not too long. It's 24 verses. But we'll see what lays in store for us here now in 2 Corinthians. And here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always starts out letter basically about the same way, letting them know who he is, what he is, and how he became that. He tells them here in this scripture that it is Paul writing this, and that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And how did he get there? By the will of God. Timothy, this companion of Paul, is not mentioned in the introduction to 1 Corinthians because Timothy had already been sent to Corinth. And his appearance here indicates that he has since rejoined the apostle, given his report concerning the affairs at Corinthians, and traveled with him from Ephesus to Macedonia and Achaia. This would embrace at least the Christians who were in Athens and in Caesarea, the eastern part of Corinth. You see, a lot of these places that it's talked about that you would actually take as a city, but when you really find out about them, you wonder, are they what we would today would call states? Because as we were reading there, that there's two cities, Athens and Caesarea, that were in the eastern part of Corinth. You got two cities in the eastern part of Corinth. So Corinth must be a nation in that day and time. And you know, I had never thought about that before. I had always kind of just looked at it as being a city. Evidently, it's more than that. Now, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Grace and peace. Then verse 2. He's letting them know that that comes from the Father, God the Father. Because, you see, God's grace has been received by faith. And nothing brings this place as much as the undiluted gospel of God's grace. And from the single proposition links the Father and the Son in an indissoluble union, thus pointing to the deity of Christ. Now, you see, there in 3, as I read it, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And 4, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Blessed means to be well spoken of. And it is used in the New Testament of God. It is a term of adoration and praise. And the Father of mercies, the mercies in view here include everything from deliverance from the world and sin and Satan himself through participation in the sonship and the light and life. But the force is even more than this. The stress is that the Father is characterized by mercy. And we find this in a lot of different places. So we know that it's all true. It's not just one place that we will read this. We'll find it over in other books. Now, 5. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. This abounded by Christ, and all actually, and as the problems increase, so does the consolation, both in this case, are measured by this experience of Christ. And Paul's use of the terms abound and abundant is significant throughout this epistle. Now, 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Think what they have run into. They was even ready to give their life. They were despaired even of life, because of all of the troubles that was coming upon them as they traveled and worked there in Asia. Well, we know today there'd be no different if they was going to Asia, because Asia today is arresting a lot of those that believe. And they are even places there in Asia that they are putting them to death. Now, 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Yet they was teaching and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing they could be killed, but also they knew that they could be raised from the dead and to them they would have been on into heaven. So they wouldn't stop. And today we let too many things stop us from the work of Almighty God. And most would fear death more than they would be willing to stand and teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a fact. And we see it all around us out here. 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. On their behalf. People are praying for them and all, and thanking God for them. And now, Paul was giving them in his way thanks for doing so. 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you. 13. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. He's wanting them to acknowledge even to the end. 14. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And you and I need to be rejoicing in each other because we are the children of Almighty God. Think about these things. How are you really living your life? Do you really love each other? 15. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. 16. And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. He was telling us here, telling them that he was minded to come unto you. And Paul's intent, he intended to go immediately from Ephesus to Corinth. The second benefit must not be misconstrued as Paul's second to them, since he had already visited them twice. And the meaning is that in this trip, he would be seeing them twice. And he's talking here of you to be brought on my way toward Judea can mean to be escorted by some of you to Judea and to be helped with food, money, arrangements for lodging by you on my journey to Judea. Or both. He's letting them know how they can help as he comes through and visits with them. 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness of or the things that I propose? Do I propose according to the flesh? that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Now, everything is supposed to be on the up and up, and it'll either be yes, yes, or no, no. 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Uh-oh. 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. No nay, just yea. 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You see, amen is the equivalent of yea. Whether one is a Gentile or a Hebrew, it does not matter. The promises of God are sure. But the force of Paul's analogy is that his word is as good as the gospel. He's letting them know that his word is just as good as the gospel. Why? Why would he even think that? Because he which established us with you in Christ is God sealed us. The sealing of the Holy Spirit has a threefold significance in the New Testament. And one is to indicate ownership. Two is to indicate genuineness. And three is to preserve and to keep safe. Now, you know, it gives us things to look up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Revelations chapter 7, verse 2 through 3, and the last idea is amplified by the earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is the down payment or pledge of redemption. The indwelling Spirit is the surety and the security of all that is to follow in the final salvation of the believer. And we know, because we are told, that when we are born of God, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Think about this. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Excuse the ringing of the phone, it'll quit. I can't get to it to answer it or to shut it off. Now, now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. 22, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And you see, that's what happens when you become that born-again child of the living God. You are sealed with and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that will give you knowledge, give you strength, give you guidance, and give you the equipment you need in order to do the things that God will want you to do. 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now he's letting them know a little bit of why he hadn't come yet to them. In the last verse of the first chapter, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And today we are no different. We stand by faith in the Lord our God. Think about that. We stand by faith in the Lord our God. And we'll close out here for the morning. And God willing, we'll be picking up with chapter 2 this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for each one that joins with me in the study of your word, Father, so that we can all have help in understanding, in love, one for the other, and be there for each other when needed. Now, Father, we pray for Israel, for peace for them. And also, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours that is filled with so much evil now, Father, we're praying and asking, Father, for your help in bringing all of your people together to remove from our government offices those that are evil and to replace them with those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country, and will work with us, Father, to put this land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us as we separate this morning to do the things we have to do today to keep us in health, keep us safe, and bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Father, this is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. And God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. this evening. Bye-bye now.